the college professor, he and his wife wrote a new movie. Man, I just saw the trailer a few minutes ago. Something about light. I think a preview section is coming out in October. I believe the movie's coming out at Christmas time. It's going to be really good. It's going to be a blessing. Turn your Bible to the book of Psalms, if you would. The book of Psalms. As I'm preparing for service for this coming weekend, I wasn't exactly sure where the Lord wanted me to go this evening, but I've been in the book of Psalms for probably the last couple months, just getting encouraged in the Lord, as David did himself. And I came upon this theme, but the verse this morning really solidified what I want to speak on tonight. Psalm 79, verse 13 says, "So we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations." So the title of my message tonight is Model Your Praise to All Generations. Model your praise to all generations. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful and thankful again to be a part of the body of Christ. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for those that were able to pray for our students, for our teachers, administrators, all across our town, our county, our nation today. We ask that you would be with those that can't be with us tonight. But again, we're grateful to have the Word of God that we might be able to be encouraged and be challenged. Do a work in our hearts in a special way. Continue, Lord, to mold us and make us into the image of Christ, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Psalm 79:13 ends with verse 13, and the last verse begins with a word, not a big word, but a word back in my generation had meaning. So, I have no idea exactly what the words are today, but every generation has their own. The word so, in this context, means therefore, consequently. There's a lot of different things that we could talk about, but it's basically a review, a summary of the entire chapter, but I do want to focus on this one verse. So, therefore, we, and it defines who we are, thy people. So I don't think there's any doubt as to who the psalm is written to. And sheep. Now, if I went onto the Merriam-Collegia dictionary, the word sheep means a timid, defenseless creature, or a timid, docile person, especially one easily influenced or led, a sheep. So, we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Let me just make this a Bible study, and I won't be long. Turn with me to Psalm 74, verse 1. 74, verse 1. I don't know of anybody in this room who's a sheep herder. I know next to nothing about sheep, even though I have a tremendous book on shepherding by Timothy Keller. It's a great book. Psalm 74, verse 1 says, "O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture?" A number of things I've learned by reading that book about sheep. One is, in order for sheep to get the amount of water that they need on a given day, they have to be out in the field early. because many of the places where sheep pasture, there's not enough water for them. So in order for them to get the daily requirement of water that they need, they have to be on the field early for the dew. The dew is what gives them their requirement of water intake for a day. And they ask you a question. Are you getting the water you need? The water of life you need? When is it available? Like manna, it's not available all day long. It's only good for a certain part of the day. And when the sun comes up and melts away the manna, it also evaporates the moisture that's on the grass blades. So it's not available after a certain time. Psalm 95, verse 7. Psalm 95, verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. Sheep are noted for, I don't want to say dumbness, but I would say docility. They're not very aggressive. They're noted for their wool. They're noted for their skin. They're noted for their meat. But as the book of John talks about, and we'll get there in a little while, the book of John reminds us that sheep can be trained. They need to be trained. Some sheep are so, I know we talked about docile, but there are some sheep that are bullheaded. And some sheep want to go around the boundaries. Some sheep will put their own lives in jeopardy by going outside of the boundaries. And some shepherds actually have to break their leg in order to carry them on their shoulders to bring them back to the fold because they won't learn. Know anybody like that? So we have the sheep. So therefore, we thy people and sheep of thy pasture. Our pasture is a field. Turn with me to Psalm 23. In order for us to be sheep, it would be wise for us to have a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Within that first verse, there's an awful lot of practical Christianity as well as doctrine. The Lord is. It's not that he was, or that he will be, or that he could be, or that he should be. The Lord is. When God appeared to Moses, I am that I am. The Lord is. He always was, always has been. Explain that. I can't. The Bible just clearly says that it is. The Lord is what? My shepherd. He could be yours. He could be somebody else's. But David reminds us that unless he's ours personally, we have no personal relationship with him. He's my shepherd. So therefore, I will submit. I will be the sheep. And because of that, there's a benefit. There's a consequence. I shall not want. That's a lifelong lesson that Paul said, I've learned, no matter what state I'm in, New York, California, no matter what state I'm in, therewith to be what? Content. Contentment has to be one of the most difficult lessons us humans experience. And for some of us, I mean, honestly, for some of us, and I don't mean to be in any way disrespectful, but we would learn some things if we were without gasoline for a week, if we were without power for a week, if we were without water for a week. Our entire mindset would change, wouldn't it? We are creatures of comfort, and when we're put out of our comfort zone for whatever reason, our dander gets up, doesn't it? We get dandery. Isaiah 40, verse 11. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound like comfort food right there? That's good. Turn with me to John chapter 10. Maybe one of the most definitive passages of Scripture on Christ being our shepherd. John chapter number 10 reminds us clearly that there are people out there that have the title, that might even have the office. They might even have a name tag. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Do you know that according to Tim Keller's book on shepherding and sheep, sheep know the shepherd's voice. They know their voice. And shepherds also will often pick a particular name per sheep. They will name their sheep like we name our children. Verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep do what? He does not stand behind them and shove them. There's a big difference, especially in leadership. Some leaders push. Some leaders lead. There's a huge difference. Huge difference. For they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. There's a lot there, isn't there? Hebrews chapter 13, if you turn there. Hebrews 13. So we thy people and sheep of thy pasture. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter 5 verse 4 says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks. Well, there's a number of definitions for the will. Whether you're talking about a verb, an adverb, and I'm actually not talking necessarily about the part of us that make up our soul, that cognitive, volitional part of us that we'll call it the decision maker. A will, in this context, I'm not saying a will as a noun, but the will here is a promise, or it's a vow, or it's an oath, or a covenant, or a contract, so to speak. We will give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is always a good place to go with regarding thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 not only gives us a statement as to what the context of that should be, But it also tells us that this is the will of God for us to give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything, give thanks. Not for everything, but in everything. There's a difference. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, the admonition in this phrase is, according to Psalm 79:13, we need to give thanks forever. Well, what about giving thanks for now? Because we're not going to be able to give thanks forever unless we focus on, let's give thanks for now. If we give thanks for now, it's easier because the things that happen to us now, we might say are fresh, or they're current, or they're up to date, or they're relevant, or timely. If we've been given something that we want to appreciate or be thankful for, sometimes it's easier to do it when it happens. Wouldn't you agree? So instead of giving thanks forever, let's start out first. Let's give thanks for now. Wouldn't that be wise? Then let's give thanks for later. What do we have to do to make sure we have things for later? Well, we have to store up, especially if you're putting food away, or money aside. We need to set aside or put aside thanks for later. Or you want to plan to do something later. You need to schedule something or remember something or put a tickler or some kind of a string around your finger to remind you to do something later, or to put it on your contact or your phone or your calendar to beep on the day that you need to do it. So if the Bible says we need to give thanks forever, it's good to start with for now. It's better to maintain the for later, but what about the forever part? Turn with me to Psalm 30, verse 12. Give thanks forever. I don't know if that's possible because we have finite lives, right? Psalm 30, verse 12. Psalm 30, verse 12 says, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee for how long? Forever. Now think about that with me if you could. There's only one way I can do that. Because we have 70, approximately 70 years. Now, the only way that I can assure or make sure that my praise will last forever is to, Alicia, I saw those dimples. The next generation, right. We got to get it into the genes of the next generation. That's what that verse meant that we started with. We have to model our praise to all generations. You know what? One of the easiest ways to do that? One of the easiest ways to do that is with a God sighting. How many have ever heard that phrase before? Okay, you're all Baptists. That's why you haven't heard that phrase before. What's a God sighting? What do you think a God sighting would be? What? You've seen God. I'm not talking about it as an apparition, but a God sighting. God showed up. Or a testimony. Some people don't know what a testimony is, so we give it a different name. What's a God sighting? Oh, I saw God today. Not literally, but I saw God work today. And one of the ways to make sure the next generation gets that is for us to speak it, to testify. One of the easiest preaching sermons ever is a personal testimony. And believe it or not, some of the most effective. Because when we speak about God, some people call it God speak. That's not God spell, it's God speak. Okay, that didn't go over well. So we're going to talk about God. And most people don't, which we'll find out on Sunday. Why our young people don't talk about God. The number one reason? Because their parents don't. That's the number one reason. So when you have a service or you have a meal or an opportunity to talk about God, this is an easy way to do that. I can't. My testimony will end with my life. Maybe my reputation, my writing, something might live beyond me. Charles Spurgeon still speaks. Why? Because of his sermons. And a number of other people, they still speak. As the book of Hebrews says, they continue to speak. But if we train and teach those behind us, then we can praise God forever. Right? Okay. Psalm 147. Psalm 147, verse 7. We're still under the give thanks umbrella. Says, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Psalm 95, verse 2. Psalm 95, verse 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Psalm 100. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So if we need to give thanks forever, we need to give thanks now, we need to give thanks later, we need to give thanks forever. Also, there's two other things we need to do. We need to give thanks, one toward men, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. We need to give thanks toward men, 2 Timothy 2, verse number 1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Then we need to give thanks toward God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2, 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to give thanks for now, for later, forever, toward men, toward God, and Colossians chapter 3, toward both. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thanks forever. The second part of Psalm 79:13 says, we will show forth thy praise to all generations. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Go to the book of Psalms. We'll be there for a little bit. Psalm 26. Let us show forth thy praise. Psalm 26, verse 7. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. I want to testify. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 35, verse 28. Psalm 35, 28. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise. How often? All the day long. Psalm 44, verse 8. Psalm 44, 8. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 22. Psalm 107, verse 22. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Psalm 113. Psalm 113, verse 2 and verse 3. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Psalm 116. Psalm 116, verse 17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Psalm 145, verse 2. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Psalm 150, the whole thing. Verse 1 through 6, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And if that's not enough, praise ye the Lord. Model your praise to all generations. And lastly, it says in Psalm 79:13, so we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. And the only way to do that is to model that. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Now let's focus on that last phrase and we'll be done. We got to start in Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Obviously, this is the tip of the the tip of the iceberg, but I thought this would be a good teaser. Revelation 7, verse 11 and 12 says, for all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen or amen, depending if you're Baptist or Presbyterian. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians 8. There are three generations mentioned in this verse. Paul, Titus, and the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 8:16 says, but thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. Paul is writing to the Corinthians about Titus caring for them. 2 Timothy 1:3. 2 Timothy 1:3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Psalm 45. Four more verses and I'm done. Psalm 45, verse 17. And all of them will be out of the book of Psalms. Do you know how many times the word praise is used in the book of Psalms? You should figure it out. There's a lot. Yeah. There's a number of them, for sure. Psalm 45, verse 17. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Psalm 78, verse 4. Psalm 78, verse 4. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come, what? The praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. Let me pause again for a minute and just kind of advertise what I'm going to speak on Sunday. Sunday I'm going to talk about Almost Christian, that book written on the study done on teenagers and young people and their denominational commitments. And one of the things they clearly say is that unless young people see us verbalizing our faith, our praise, if we are mute Christians, if we are silent Christians, that will do nothing for the cause of Christ. It will do absolutely nothing for the kingdom. So the primary responsibility is in the home. Secondary responsibility is in the church. Third level of responsibility would be the young people's peer group. But number one is the family. Number two is the church. Number three is the peer group. And number four probably would then be parents other than adults other than parents that are investing in those young people's lives. Coach, Sunday school teacher, whatever. Those people that are investing and believing in those young people. And we have to model it. And the only way we can model it is really to know it. And from what I've read and what I've heard, the number one reason why adults will not either disciple or model Christianity in front of their kids is they're afraid of making a mistake. They're afraid they don't know enough. Nobody knows enough. How can we answer everybody's questions? We can't. But we can have a relationship with God. Psalm 102, verse 18. Psalm 102:18. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. Who are those people? They're not yet, are they? They're not yet, are they? No. I think before the end of the year, I'd like to preach a message on, I hate to say it, on contraception. Because the Bible talks about people that will be and shall be created. Children that God has on his mind and in his heart that maybe we prevent from coming into the world. You know what I mean? Something that we have invented over the last 50, 60, 70, 80 years that probably has made God not very happy. And the last verse I'd like to share will be done. Psalm 145, verse 4. Psalm 145, verse 4. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. So we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Let's model our praise to all generations. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and thank you for your word, for your admonition, your encouragement, for our responsibility. Help us to realize that we have a great obligation to pass the baton of our faith to others. One of the reasons why it's difficult to praise the Lord is because I think, personally, the joy of the Lord has left the house of God. The joy of the Lord has left our homes. The carnal fruit is frustration. The biblical fruit is joy. And one of the reasons why joy has left the home is because we're working for God instead of God working through us. It's not our strength, it's His strength. Therefore, we can say the joy of the Lord. It's His strength. So, Lord, we ask and pray that You would help us, encourage us, remind us of our great responsibility, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't have prayer sheets for you because our copy machine decided to be weird and print black lines right across the pages. So, as we're used to writing down prayer requests, you're going to have to grab a piece of paper. Or maybe we can grab a little small ream of paper out of the copier and pass out a blank piece of paper to everybody. We could do that.